Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have another really exciting interview ahead of us about having a track record for reinventing yourself every decade. Today, you'll be meeting Stacy Shiflett, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who's a founder and CEO of Modern Consciousness and helps people align their lives with their values, desires, and dreams to live fully and intentionally with a full heart and peace of mind. Welcome to the show, Stacy. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie. It's great to be here.
Oh, I know this is going to be a fun interview because we've been having fun in the pre-interview.
Yes, we have.
All right. So I want to talk to you all about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're going to be talking about your business and what's going really well. Also, what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent, a little hiccup here and there, maybe a giant hiccup, whatever's going on that might be challenging for you in your life, as well as being a business owner. So let's get started with how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and what you do in the world. Take it away.
Absolutely. I am 66 years old. I was telling you before, I looked up middle age to see what it was, 40 to 60, right? The formal definition, I'm like, oh, am I a senior? I don't feel like a senior.
No. I'm all into age and stage. So you may have the age, but what you're doing in the world, the stage you're at, not senior.
Absolutely. So 66, I live in beautiful Siesta Key, which is in Sarasota, Florida on the West Coast. And my current company is called Modern Consciousness.
I love that name. So do you find that people know what Modern Consciousness means, or is it something that just pulls people in?
It usually pulls people in. They go, what's that? My business coach tells me I am the mother of modern consciousness. And I think when anybody asks me, what do you do? That's what I'm going to say from here on in. I am the mother of modern consciousness. It's a theory that came to me, through me, I should say, in meditation as I don't know, it's been a number of years ago now, but as I was embarking on my own personal development, very, very deep personal development transformation journey, post-divorce after 28 years, marriage imploded. So, So that's kind of where it came. And I have this whole theory of how we move through these different aspects of what I call modern consciousness.
Well, I want to hear more about that. But before we go there, I want to hear a little bit more about your journey to this. So you've been divorced. And what about what you did before? Because there's a lot that you've done before.
Oh, gosh, I've done so many things. I'm the kid whose principal called their parents when I was in my, in my junior year. I got home from school and my mom says, we got a phone call from your principal today. And I was like, you did? And she said, yes, because he told us that you want to graduate this year or you're going to quit school, because I really wasn't fond of high school. I was in my junior year. I had plenty of credits to graduate. So I did. This is also the kid that went to work at age 16, whose parents were supportive of that. But I more or less surprised them with that, too. Hey, I got a job. Right. So from a very young age, I had a very strong value of self-actualization. I didn't realize it had a name until a few years ago. So, I was in the hospitality industry for a decade or so. I quit college. I was waiting tables and bartending. I was even a bouncer at one time. I weighed like all of 105 pounds, if you could believe that, in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. I was very effective at it, a good communicator. And I was making good money. I quit school, probably silly, but that was me doing my thing, right? And from there, I got married and had a very difficult time getting an entry-level position in an office, right? Having been in the restaurant and bar business for a solid decade. And a lady from my mom's church gave me a job. It was a very small woman-owned federal contractor. And this was in the D.C. area. And within a year of getting that job, she hired me to do some basic bookkeeping. And, you know, I was learning a little bit of word processing. You know, I knew how to type. I came from the generation where your mom says, know how to type, right? You need to know how to type. You could always fall back on a secretarial or administrative position. Within a year of taking that job, I pretty much single-handedly, I had a technical team that put the computers together, but I pretty much single-handedly rolled out, I'm going to date myself, the first IBM PC XT desktop computers to the entire Department of Health and Human Services within a year of taking that job and transitioning. So I've got goosebumps telling you that. I created all of the training programs. I trained everybody. I was their user support person. It was an amazing, amazing experience.
Wow.
So that was maybe not quite a decade. And then I transitioned to a help desk position for a company that automated federal government procurement processes. And over my decade doing that, I became known as a subject matter expert in that field. People sought me. I didn't have to look for a job. That culminated in me doing I acquired a $50 million company in that space without investing a penny. You know, I pulled somebody in on the deal with me to help me do it that had an MBA, and he had some merger and acquisition experience because I didn't have any of that. We did it. It took us 9 months. They called us cashless investors. It was just absolutely crazy. Got a finder's fee. Everybody we showed the deal to wanted in. So somebody did buy it. I got a finder's fee, a sweet employment contract, stayed there for about 5 years. When they flipped it, I took my money and got out. I had a construction company in DC for about a decade. I built 4- and 5-story apartment buildings, wood frame apartment buildings.
Obviously. Now, what about the llama farm? I see llama farm in
here. Oh, yes. In the middle of all of that, I had a llama farm. I raised those for about 12 years while I was raising my son. We figured that would be a great environment to, you know, to raise our child. I was married at the time. And then, you know, I closed down the construction company during COVID just because I was tired of it. And, you know, I had to pivot. I either had to pivot the company or do something else. And I really wanted out of the industry. So I shut it down. And here I am with Modern Consciousness.
I have to say, I'm just grinning my face off over here because what you've done is so, well, it's unusual. It's unusual. Each project is unusual, or your decade. And they don't necessarily make sense in terms of how they relate to each other, but they must make sense in terms of what was going on in your life. Well, where did the construction company come from?
You know, when the investors sold the IT company, my husband at the time, I was still married, he had a construction company, and he said, hey, there's this niche in DC. Specifically in the District of Columbia. I didn't trade under woman-owned business, but they couldn't find contractors that would work with the large builders that had this certain certification within DC. So I looked into it and I researched it and I took my money and I started the company and then we divorced really quickly after that. Not related, but yeah. So he was the one that introduced that as a concept to me. And he helped me get started, you know, but no doubt about that. But I hired a really, really intelligent man, just such a wonderful man, such a wonderful family. We keep in touch to this day. I certainly didn't know anything about it, building a building. I knew about finances. I knew about creating teams. I knew about contracts. I knew about communicating. You know, I knew a lot of things. I did not know how to build a 5-story apartment building. So I hired a wonderful, wonderful guy that did all the day-to-day operations for me. And that gave me the freedom to do a lot of things, not the least of which was embark on my own journey as the divorce happened and the 28-year marriage imploded.
Wow. Wow. So as we're talking away here, you know who, my lovely DOG. has walked in. So I'm ignoring him because he wants a T-R-E-A-T. because he's eaten and I'm ignoring him because we're having such a lovely interview. So we'll just continue.
I love dogs. It's fine. If he wants to join in on the conversation, I'm happy with that as well.
As long as he doesn't bark. He's very smart.
He's in stealth mode right now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Now, if you don't know, as a listener right now, he's 130 pound Newfoundland. So his being right here next to us, first of all, he stinks right now. So I can smell that. And he's hard to ignore. Okay. So a couple of things strike me about your story. The first thing is that there are new beginnings here. So as we talked, you like, oh, there we go. I'm just going to ask the question, then I'm going to go mute while you answer. Okay. So we, can you be quiet? We're just in the middle of an interview and it's not funny.
I love his face.
He knows he's in charge. What I notice is the new beginnings and the ends. And it's so common in midlife to be fearful of starting new things and to be fearful of closing something. And I have interviewed many people who talk about this, and I had a ton of fear with this as well. So, you know, you said that upon reflection, you notice that you reinvent yourself about every 10 years. So what comes up for you when I just shared, there's often a lot of fear about this and you seem to be doing it like easy peasy?
Well, you know, it's been really interesting. And I know this is about middle age, and I'll talk to you about where the nuance that I had on that, the little bit of a different experience I had with that, with this company in particular. So, sure. But, you know, one of the things that I credit my success to is fearlessness. You know, I very easily stepped into new things, and I stepped into them with, you know, with an extraordinary amount of confidence always. I mean, I can remember, and I have a I just submitted a story for a new compilation book called The Change Series. And, you know, that's one of the things I talked about in there. Even in my early 20s, when I was bartending, you know, I walked into a bar that I knew I had been a patron there, and I walked in and asked to see the manager, and he came out to see me, and I said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about managing this place because you're leaving a lot of money on the table. Your drink prices, you can charge more for your drink prices." I got the job. And, you know, but I, you know, when I think about that, it's conviction and belief, right? And when I started in the technical area, I mean, it was conviction and belief, right? And I learned very quickly. I'm adaptable. I caught on to things. Same with the llamas. I just didn't have any fear about it. I just jumped into it. I remember my mom was out there with me at the farm one time, and I was delivering a breech baby. And, you know, if you can imagine delivering a breech baby, you've got gloves that come up over your elbows, and I'll just leave it at that. You can imagine the rest of it.
Okay. I'm just back on, wait, obviously you're delivering a breech baby. Okay.
She says, "How do you know how to do this? You're a city girl." I was born in Miami, Florida, and raised in Northern Virginia, right outside DC. And I said, I don't know. I just learned. So, you know, I just stepped in very willing and open, and obviously had a lot of resiliency because I had to learn, right? So to learn, you get things wrong sometimes, and you learn from your mistakes, and you move forward. So I've really had a fearlessness about stepping into things. This particular company, and I wrote about this in my answers to you for the pre-call questions, the difference that I had stepping into this at my age now was like, I lost some of that confidence.
Interesting.
And it was, you know, it was really interesting to me because I had to sit down. You know, our belief systems they're so sneaky. You know, they're just so sneaky. It can show up in one way in one area of our life and a different way in another area. And what I figured out what I was doing was it was a completely new field to me. Not that I had entered new fields before, obviously, right?
They were very different.
And, you know, I knew that I didn't know this business model. I didn't know other business models either, right? But I was very aware that this was a completely new business model to me, and I was discounting all of my previous experience.
Exactly.
I felt like I was starting from scratch.
Right.
And so I had to overcome that and realize, okay, no, all of that experience is very relevant to what you're doing today. So that was a little glitch. And the other glitch there at my age was thinking, why should I start something new at this age? I should just retire. Oh, you're supposed to retire. Well, I've, you know, what am I going to do? You know, now I'm alone. I don't have a spouse. The future I thought I had was, you know, thought I was going to be living is no longer a reality. It hasn't for about 10 or 12 years now, which is fine. It's good. Now it's all good. But, you know, these were the thought processes a few years back, contemplating starting a new business.
Interesting.
And so I just had to step into it and move past the fear and the low level of confidence, which was something new for me, but obviously something, a lesson that I needed to learn.
Yeah, well said. And I have to say, I've been working in this space with midlife women now for almost 10 years. And what you're saying is very, very common. It's so interesting to me that being older and wiser, we forget the wiser part. We focus on the older, and then we don't fully appreciate all of the experience and how transferable the skills are. Women are selling them short every day of the week. When I think about women as entrepreneurs, I imagine them with superhero capes, because there's so much we deal with and we have so much value and experience going into what seems new.
I think that's because that's what we're taught, right? Yeah. We're not taught to appreciate those aspects of ourselves, right? We're taught. And society, and by that I mean society, puts a lot of emphasis on our professional achievements only, right? Not in our education, right?
But
not,
you know what, Stacey,
not all even, of the experience.
But even with that, there's this idea that in so many positions where we have longevity and we have longevity and we've been there for 20, 30 years, you start to feel. You go from feeling very accomplished to being washed up, it seems sometimes almost overnight, because of stigma and the culture around aging and perceptions around older women and what the options really are. We don't really appreciate what's possible, but it's so interesting to feel like all of a sudden it switches from I'm at the top to, ugh, my age is working against me. And so when you were sharing what was happening and thinking about retirement, when clearly you're an entrepreneur at heart, and retirement isn't something that most entrepreneurs are thinking about at the same time that people who have employers are thinking about it. Doing this podcast and meeting so many women over 50 who are entrepreneurs, it barely ever gets discussed.
That's
fascinating.
That really is fascinating. I didn't have the context. Thank you for sharing that, because I didn't have a context of speaking to a wide variety of women about this. I will tell you also that when the investors flipped the tech company that I had, right? And, you know, I did start a construction company right after that. But, you know, there was a time where I was like, gosh, that's going to be my biggest achievement, my biggest professional achievement. Hmm. I've already peaked.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's right in line with what you said. And that's just not true. It doesn't have to be true. If you want that to be your peak, you can choose to do that. But we could choose to do whatever we want. And it's a matter, you know, that's a lot of the personal work I've done myself and that I do with other people. I mean, that's, it's difficult sometimes to distill it down to the thing that's, you know, that's blocking you, or that program that's running, that's causing the emotions and the behaviors that you're feeling, right? So
definitely, yeah. It's like the language I typically use is, it's like we believe it's a downhill slide to the finish line. Like, that's really kind of what so many of us believe, as one of those sneaky beliefs that we have no understanding, that is, as I like to say, mucking up the joint. Yes. Mucking up the joint is a direct quote from one of my favorite people in the whole world, who was my high school marching band director. And I just grin every time I say that, because it was said originally to us in marching band when we were mucking up the field and not doing the formations right or not sounding great. I play saxophone. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. We're very not aware of a lot of our thinking. Now, I want to get back into you being the mother of modern consciousness. Tell me a little bit about going from all of this stuff that you were doing in your last business with construction and then going into this field.
Well, you know, I had a vision that was gifted to me through meditation and this whole concept, this theory that came through with some different aspects. And I'm happy to share those with you in a moment. But I want to share, you know, I had a lot of resistance to it, back to the resistant part, right? And I resisted it for a couple of years. And I kept saying, you know, it just was a profound idea and thought, and it would not leave me alone. And, you know, I would look up at the sky and I'm like, I am not your girl. It's not mine, right? I don't know who you think I am, but this is not mine. And I have goosebumps as I'm telling you that. And so after about 2 years of resisting, I was meditating one day and I'm like, okay, for crying out loud, you're not leaving me alone. You're not going to leave me alone about it. So what am I supposed to do? What is my next step? You have to tell me where I can understand it. What is my next step? So the word right came to me, and it wasn't the first time that I had suggested that I sit down and write, but what was different is I surrendered to it and I said, okay. And within 2 hours, I had a text message from a friend of mine saying that a friend of hers had a spot open in a collaboration book with Les Brown. And would you like me to introduce you? At which point I was like, well, I can't say no, right? You just can't say no. So that was my first book project. And I did. I signed on. And then as working with that publisher, which was Ignite Publishing, I realized, you know, gosh, I could actually launch a company in conjunction with that book. So that's what I did. I started building the foundation of the company so that I at least had the website and, you know, what I call the back end, you know, all the architectural stuff set up before that. But essentially the theory, do you want me to go into that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not a linear progression. It's very fluid. It promotes growth and expansion. I don't call them levels or phases because they can overlap, but sometimes I will use the words interchangeably. But the first aspect of that I call Automaton 2.0. And I say 2.0 to acknowledge that we've grown to whatever point we're at in our lives. You know, here we are. It acknowledges everything we've accomplished. And what I find, though, is within this stage, what's driving the momentum of our lives at that point is actually the activities of our lives, right? We're sort of running on autopilot. We're doing all these things we thought would make us happy or would bring us satisfaction. And we're kind of finding out that they don't necessarily. And we've stopped really being conscious. We made decisions years ago. We decided to, you know, what degree to pursue in our education, what career to pursue, get married, have children, put the kids in soccer. You know, we made all of these decisions and we make them generally stovepiped, right? We're not looking at they're made with good intentions, but not with the whole of our lives necessarily factored into the equation. But anyway, what I find pushes people out of that is when they begin to realize that they don't know how to stop the train that they're on. They don't know how to slow it down. They start to get frustrated. More of their frustration builds and what have you. So anyway, often they're faced with a crisis because they haven't dealt with whatever, you know, we don't deal with whatever. And sometimes it's not even dealing with it. We just are faced with a crisis that sort of surprises us and pushes us to our next level. But these are the types of things that introduce us and push us forward into what I call the awakening soul. And the awakening soul is really a period of gathering knowledge. You know, we're really the knowledge seekers and we're seeking alternatives to our current reality. And we're beginning to gain a better understanding of ourselves and the world around us. we start understanding things like, oh, what do you mean I have this belief that might not be working for my highest and best, you know, those sorts of things. And we do actually start to change in that aspect of modern consciousness. And, you know, we start to explore what is our purpose in this life there. And anyway, the next level I call the illuminated adept. And that's where we start to really have some pretty significant and profound inner transformational changes. And we've mastered a lot of skills there, self-awareness, minding our thoughts, you know, having increased compassion for ourselves and others, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens there. And that leads some to be transformers. And transformers really have they're very deeply rooted by a sense of purpose, and they significantly impact their communities, their part of the world, right? And it doesn't mean that you have to impact a million people, but you are a positive influence for others, and you help others create change in their life, positive change in their life. So those are kind of the four aspects: automaton, awakening soul, illuminated adept, transformers. And I truly believe that it all starts within, and then it radiates outward, right? It radiates into our relationships, our families, our businesses, our organizations, our communities. It's the only way we're going to change the world.
Yeah.
So that's what modern consciousness is all about.
That is great. That's great. And I love your story of how the insight came to you that was, you know, it's really your awakening soul. Your awakening soul opened the door, it sounds like, to
it did. Yes, it did.
All of this other stuff.
Yeah.
So good. All right. So tell me about being a woman in midlife and what hiccups have come along your way. Sounds like the divorce was a giant one.
The divorce was a giant hiccup. And, you know, it propelled me forward. You know, obviously I was devastated. And I initiated, it's a long story. I don't really talk about the story. It's neither here nor there. It was necessary. And the title of the story in my first book was The End of Me. And it is about that. And, you know, my quote in that book really is, sometimes the right thing to do is the hardest.
Mm.
And it was very much that situation for me. So, you know, the couple of years after that, I mean, I had a business. I went out, I got my own home, you know, I thought I was doing everything right. And, you know, I really wasn't. I also had adopted some habits that probably weren't the best during that time frame. And, you know, I finally realized, after it took me about 2 years to really realize, that change wasn't going to happen organically, right? Something wasn't just going to appear. I didn't want to be a leaf floating down the stream anymore, that I was going to have to take my power back. And that's what I did. And I embarked on my own journey of change, right? Of learning as much as I could about myself and just about the general condition of humanity as well. And right, the human condition. So that's, you know, that was really big for me. And I talked to you already about the thing with the confidence, right? A little bit like, should I retire? Yeah. Do I do this? Oh my gosh, I don't know that I want to do something brand new at this age. Can I, you know, old dog learn new tricks, all that kind of stuff. I think those two were probably the biggest.
Yeah.
You know, there's some tactical stuff. Like, I don't always have the recall that I used to have. Do you know how that goes? You're like, where's that word? Or
no, I do.
You know, so, you know, that's okay. I rely on some notes from time to time, and that's no big deal. Health wise, I have some achy joints that I'm working on naturally, but I'm very happy to say that I'm, you know, healthy. And at 66 years old, I'm not on any medication, so I must be doing something right. Believe me, it's not all due to good, clean living. Believe me, I was a child of the 70s. I've done a lot of things, but, you know, so yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I think those things, and I think that there's for me, often there's a discrepancy between how I feel and how I think I look in many instances, to when I sometimes will see myself in video or a photo or something, and I'm like, Am I really that old?
Oh my God, Stacy, I started to play with a, what kind of app is it? Oh, I can't even find my phone. It's one of those apps that does photo touch up on your face. I don't even know what it's called.
Facetune or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Many of them. Yes.
Yeah. So I was a resistor. I never had that until, I don't know, like 2 months ago. And, and so the one that I have, you can pick and, you know, do a little tune up. And then it shows you a side by side if you want. And that was a shocker because I never would go in extreme in the touch ups.
Yeah.
But then when you see them side by side, you can see that even the not extreme touch up is so different. And what I really noticed is my eyes. So not the bags underneath, not the bags or wrinkles, but how hooded my eye has become. So when the face thingy does its thing, it widens my eyes. And then I start to look at the regular pictures and yeah, like I don't look the same. Like my eyes are definitely not as wide as they were. And I just thought that was so interesting because I hadn't even noticed that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'll, you know, every, but I feel one way and I, yeah, I mean, I'm told you look great all the time or whatever, but you know, sometimes I'll see something and I was like, oh my God, is that, oh, that's awful. Is that really me? I have a funny story. I had a friend of mine and we were out on boats. It was a few years ago and we were on a beach and he took pictures, and posted them on Facebook in a bathing suit. And I said, Douglas, take that down. Don't post that in a bathing suit. And he's like, why? And I said, because I don't look good. I don't like it. And he goes, that's the way you look. I'm like, geez, thanks, Doug. But it's true. That's that, you know, so there's a lot of programming that we have on that with aging and body shape and, you know, just the whole gamut. And,
but you know what else is with that?
That is work on.
Yes. But also that I think was just a man being insensitive, because it's not just looking at a picture of yourself, but now it's public. Like now it's a public shared image. And I agree. Like one time I was on vacation and we were having a great time. We met some people. It was really fun. And I was taking some pictures. And one of the women asked me, she said, please don't put any bathing suit pictures on Facebook. And I said, you know what? I would never do that. But I'm so glad you told me that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I wouldn't have said either.
No, take that down. But I tell you what, this was probably, I look at that picture now and I think, oh my God, I wish I looked like that in a bathing suit now. It'll pop up on a memory or something every once in a while, right?
So that's so funny.
You know, it's funny. I mean, it's just, you know, it's how we perceive ourselves and the little things that we need to overcome to be truly authentic and love ourselves. And, you know, the universe never stops giving us lessons, right? There's
true.
You know, there's always, we can always learn more, be more, become more. Right. And some of that I don't mean by, you know, some great achievement, could just be loving ourselves more. Right. I think I wrote in a blog not too long ago, it might have been last year, something about our looks are the number one shame trigger for women, you know, our appearance. And, you know, sometimes there's some simple things, right? Like middle age, gain a little weight, your metabolism is not the same. You're still trying to squeeze into those tight jeans. If you've got those tight jeans on all day, honey, what are you thinking all day? I know what I was thinking. Oh my God, I'm fat. I'm getting fat. I'm getting fat. Buy the right size pants. You'll feel so much better. And you don't have that loop going in the back of your head the whole day where, you know, you're uncomfortable. And so sometimes it's just a small, you know, it's a small tweak. By all means, if you want to lose weight, if you want to, you know, go do that. But in the meantime, don't torture yourself.
Right? Agreed.
Don't torture yourself. Buy a pair of jeans that fit.
And the same goes with underwear and bras. Absolutely.
This is quite true. Yes. You know, but those practical things, I'm a very practical person and they go a long way to creating happiness and peace of mind for us. I think we overlook sometimes it's just the simple things sometimes that make a big difference. And that sets a good foundation for us to grow from.
Absolutely. So tell me, what are you focusing on now in your business?
I have a program called Elevate Your Life, and it's a very comprehensive program. And that's what I'm concentrating on now. And, you know, it's funny because we tend to evaluate so many things in our life, right? You know, we evaluate our businesses and we look at our checkbooks and we step on the scale and, you know, we take the car in for maintenance, regular to schedule, we get our, but we don't look at our whole life. We never really sit down and look at everything together. And that's what I do with this program. I've got a joke about it running in my head. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it for marketing or not, but it's like, you know, they say you have a life review when you, you know, when you go, you know, when you pass over and you go see your maker, there's a life review. The first thing, why wait till then? Let's do it now.
I like it.
You know, so I, you know, I've got a process that I go through. I call it a modern consciousness ascension formula is what I call it. But it's essentially doing an assessment of, you know, all domains of your current life, defining your aspirations for each of those. And it's funny because we have a very difficult time actually saying what we want. We don't even know, right? We just haven't sat and really thought about it in those terms. Then we architect the bridge, which is the gap analysis and how to get from, you know, your current to your desired state. And then I've got activation and alignment, but essentially it's creating a plan to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's in incremental steps. And I do it in such a way with people. It's their life. They get to choose. They, you know, they get to plan. They've got all the information. It's just a matter of helping them reveal it to themselves and articulating it and then realizing that, yes, we can do something about this, that you can do something about it, and defining practical steps that move us in the direction of our aspirations.
I love that you use the word reveal, though, because your personal story of how this work was revealed to you. I love that you just used that to mirror your experience and what you hope happens with your clients. Yeah, that was very powerful. Might have to use that in the title. We'll talk about it in a few minutes.
Okay, super.
Amazing. Okay, so what is the best way for people to get a hold of you?
My website, modernconsciousness.com, and my social is all the same, right? It's Modern Consciousness, at Modern Consciousness. And then I will share this. I do have a free gift on my website. And that is an ebook that I call Two Keys to Increase Happiness and Peace of Mind. And it reveals two keys that I used, two of the four agreements, which was one of the first books that someone gave me, and how to put that into practice in your life and how that can help you really reveal again what's going on in your subconscious mind. And I also have some very practical steps in there to help move you along. So you can get that at my website as well, at modernconsciousness.com.
Amazing. And again, I love that you keep talking about practical steps, because just the way that you describe the history of your professional, I call it professional contribution, which is really great for you because it wasn't one discrete career. It was success in this area, success in this area. Ooh, a llama farm, success in that area. So let's build some buildings. It's like really a lot of stuff. Anyway, I love that it's practical, because as you're describing all of these areas of expertise that you developed, to me, I'm just going, oh my God, like they're just such huge mountains to climb to have all those businesses be successful. And they're so different. And you do seem very practical to me. That is really coming out. So that I really love the way you're taking something that can feel overwhelming and a little woo sometimes, and you're also adding such a practical side to it.
Thank you. I've been told I'm very good at creating order out of chaos. And you know, knowledge is great, but unless you can put it to practical use, it's not so helpful. And I do find a lot of people that have done a lot of personal development work, they're knowledge seekers. They keep gaining knowledge, but they don't know what to do with it. They keep seeking some magic bullet or some magic phrase that's going to transform their life like that. And that's not how it works.
No, it's not how it works. Anyway, I really love what you're doing. It's been so much fun getting to know you and hearing your story. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Susie.
All right, that's it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It is never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.